Governor, in your remarks, you said you want to trim another 1,000 full-time employees. You say something like that, state workers in Jeff City, you get a little nervous.
Well, I mean,
get more specific on what you mean by that.
I mean, as I've said in the past, I mean, none of this is fun. I mean, we're trying to make sure that if we do have to trim up, that we find pathways for employment for folks. I mean, some of the areas we're looking at clearly is to continue to trim at administrative costs in the state. Another, as far as bigger pieces, is looking at privatizing a piece in our child support enforcement and especially modification part of that, where there are hundreds and hundreds of employees. We also think that trimming up some of our purchasing and human and HR divisions can do that. It's a daunting target and a difficult one, but we think that getting government the right size, unfortunately, is part of this. But I think the key to do it's now. I mean, over the next 6 weeks with the legislature, and then as we move into the formal signing of the budget, will be the time we want to get this done, so that from here on out we have right sized, and from there on we're moving forward.
Governor, yesterday I spoke with
Kurt Schaefer, who's on the Appropriations Committee, said you weren't being transparent in what you wanted the committee to cut. And he said you were being basically straddling the fence in terms of informing the committee, which is working in open session, cutting the budget, as to what you think should be cut. Have you been transparent, and what is your reaction to Senator Schaefer's remarks?
Well, first of all, incredibly open. I mean, we started this process just a few short weeks ago. We're continuing yesterday, UMKC here and across the state, talking about how we need to right-size government. It is because of what we've done over the last 3 or 4 weeks that they're having discussions. It's because of what we've done and with the leadership of Senate working, that they took a day off 2 weeks ago and broke themselves into small groups and talked about how we could reshape, resize, and restructure state government. We have worked with the Senate in a bipartisan way. We've worked with Senator Mayer. These are tough decisions, and I think everybody, when they get through the process, but the goal is to get it done. And I'm not spending much time trying to figure out how we define differences. I'm trying to figure out ways we can define ways to work together.
If it's been so open, then how come it took a Sunshine Law request to get the list of recommended cuts that you gave to Senator Mayer that was not given to the rest of the Senate Appropriations Committee?
Well, that wasn't a list of recommended cuts. What we were working on over each and every day over the last few weeks was which items could be open. I mean, Director Lubring, I mean, all these hearings are out there. My budget director is available and open during the entirety of this process. One of the things that we said a few short weeks ago was because of the downticks, we felt that we would no longer want to count the $300 million enhanced FMAP dollars to go into fiscal 11, that we would want those moved over into fiscal 12. I mean, this is a big problem, but it's a complicated problem, but it's a simple problem. I mean, what you have is a situation in which we need to, because of we're coming off the back end of Recovery Act dollars, basically $1 billion of those dollars will be out there. What you want to do is you want to take that additional $300 million when it comes and put it into 12. Then you want to trim 500. Then you want to grow 200. I mean, that gets you back to where you're going. So, we have been constantly, daily, working with Senator Mayer and others to provide them ideas, counsel, and have been present and working throughout this entire process with them.
What three things, Governor, would you cut in the budget that the Senate is considering right now? The big numbers, not small numbers.
Well, I think that continuing the flat funding for K-12 that the House showed leadership on 2 weeks ago is a reality of the budget that we're in. I think getting an equalization of the access dollars so that we are picking up savings there. And the third thing is, I think that getting some realistic reform on tax credits. I mean, we cannot be in a world in which we are forced because of budget challenges to make the kind of cuts that we're having to talk about here and take off the table things like historic tax credits. I mean, my golly, it's risen to $180 million a year. And we need to – so that's one that I think it's my hope that the Senate gets to action relatively quickly on that, giving both some limited some caps in those credit areas, as well as some discretion to choose the best and smartest deal. So those are three areas I think that will have significant budget implications. That it's my hope that they'll get right to.
Can you kind of summarize your plans?
I think that what we're doing here is trying to resize government instead of just and do it in an intelligent, thoughtful way, so that, you know, unlike some other states that just say let's take 12% off everything or whatever, that so that we're actually structurally doing this. So that is, and then look at what we're betting on. What are the things that we're going to be excellent at? You know, it's higher education, that's continuing funding for K-12, it's law enforcement, it's public safety issues, and so I think that the overall message here is to have the right size of government that can deliver the services Missourians need in these challenging economic times. And if we do that correctly, as we rebound out of these recessionary times, we will be poised to dramatically expand private sector workforce, and that's ultimately the goal, get people back to work.
How much money are you looking at saving with all these?
I mean, the bigger piece here is, as I said before, we want to take that 300 and move it into the next year. So we want to find another $500 million in this budget process. So the entirety of this will find $500 million. But it's important to realize that that's not just to balance a budget for 1 year. That's not just to find a number that matches on two sides so that everybody can escape Jeff City and you've got the magic number for that year. It's actually to make some decisions. And that's why some of the things around the tax credit area are so vitally important here. This doesn't, you know, even if we were able to cut it to balance the budget without making some of those structural changes that we need to make, where programs are growing too fast, we would not be positioned to have this challenge behind us. So we think that we need to make these decisions, and we need to make them in the relative short term.
You mentioned Senator Mayer. Obviously, Senator Mayer yesterday is the senator who introduced the cuts to higher education, also introduced cuts to career ladder program. How much guidance have you given about cuts to recommend? Are you pleased with the cuts that he's introduced?
Well, I mean, you only give so much guidance to any senator. I mean, I was one of those. Obviously, I think that we should live up to the deal on higher education. I think it's a good deal. What I said out here to the question from the folks in the Alumni Association, I mean, the higher education came to the table early and said, we'll take a cut and we will continue a tuition freeze. That's a heck of a step forward for a state, and we ought to honor that agreement and move on down the line. So he and I have an initial. I mean, once again, that bill has not been voted out. That bill's not moved to the floor yet. It's still in process. But I do think that Senator Mayer and his committee have taken this process seriously. I think they joined us in the belief that any enhanced FMAP that would come through the jobs bill, whenever that comes in, ought to go into 12 so that we don't fall off the back of a cliff. That was a big leadership step that he and his committee took, and I tremendously appreciate it. So while we may have some short-term disagreements on some of these particular items, I do think the process in the Senate has been one in which they have made the House got started, but the Senate has clearly made some more significant progress.
So what are you telling university presidents then? Are you telling them it's definitely going to be a tuition freeze and there's no way that in-state tuition is going to go up for next year?
I mean, what I'm telling them is we're all going to work together to as the bill moves. It's finally voted. I would hope that this is one section of the bill that could be that part could be fixed before it even went to the floor. I mean, if they still haven't voted that measure out of committee yet formally, and I would hope that we could get it done there. If not, certainly whether it's on the floor or in conference, there's a difference between the House and the Senate. So we'll stay on point. This is an important issue for families across our state. It's nice to have a differential between us and all other states in the country. It's nice to be standing alone in a leadership role. It's nice to be the only state in the country in which students that go to school here know that for this year and for next year that they've got a predictable flat funding costs. It's nice for their families to know that. We think it's a great selling point for Missouri, and I applaud the universities for stepping up and taking the cuts to allow it to happen. So I think it's an important part of our package, and as I said before, I'll continue to converse and to work to make sure that gets to my desk.
Governor, when you talk about pension reform for state mm-hmm. workers, what specifically do you mean?
I think you got to divide it into two I mean, I think that the world for folks that are new employees is going to be different than the ones that are there. I think both the law and our obligation to folks who are employees is to live up to the responsibility that and the agreements that we made when they came in. So when we talk about pension reform in a longer version, what you're talking about is having some sort of probably contributory plan in which the employee has to come up with some dollars to help match that, like the private sector. A non-contributory plan is extremely expensive, and I don't think what's going on in the private sector and makes it more difficult for us to keep the workforce size that we have. I mean, we're if you count consolidated health care and the pension obligations of the state, we pay almost $400 million a year general revenue to support those in the budget. Well, looking at beginning to bend that cost curve for new employees, we think is important. And on the consolidated health care piece, we're going to look at how we can best provide a good work product, a good health care product, and provide some options, whether it's health savings accounts or others, for employees so that they can begin to have a wider choice of options as we move forward. But on both of those fronts, on the pension side, I think basically you're talking about new hires. On the consolidated side, you're looking about ways to give more choices to consumers that can help bend the cost curve.
Governor, have you discussed the consolidation of the highway and water patrols with those agencies' leaders, and what kind of reaction are you getting from them?
Well, we've had, I mean, I thought the hearing went especially well on that, on when the Senate had a meeting. That was one of the significant topics on the public safety piece. I think that Colonel Ruppogel has done an outstanding job at from the management perspective of looking at this. I think that the folks of the Water Patrol, understanding that our proposal would have a major, you know, one of the command structure be right in that command structure team is also important to them. We think that this could really work, and we think it's good for law enforcement for our state. Certainly our administration is in solid contact each and every day with the leaders of these various organizations. But I think from a public safety perspective that it's something a lot of other states have done, and it just makes sense. That way you can have, you know, what force you need at what particular time you need it at the point. I just think it's a long-term. It gives us a public safety force that can deliver.
Governor, today we heard about one more.
Yeah.
Today we heard many proposals between merging Water Patrol and Highway Patrol, merging Department of Higher Ed and Secondary Education. These are ideas we've already heard before. What about some other bigger cut ideas that, you know, there's no doubt there's going to be some delay in the legislature, but what are some other ideas which have to cut from that big $500 million number?
Well, I think the one that if I was going to press them to get to discussing in public and spend some significant floor time on it would be the reshaping of these tax credits. I mean, when you get to a $585 million item on a budget, when you see the growth that we've seen over the last 10 years, if we're going to be able to make sure that we're able to continue to fund fine institutions like this one and its compatriots around the state, we're going to have to get economic decisions about that. You can't just have economic development tools just be automatic just because somebody can fill out a form. And so I'm hopeful that is the of the things that are out there for the Senate to have a good thoughtful discussion about and take some serious hours to work through. We're hopeful that they sequence that up near the front because there's real dollar savings there. It makes a real difference, and it's not easy.
Think you've given enough leadership to Senate and House leaders to get the budget crisis under control?
Yeah, there's plenty of time. 6 weeks is turn. I should also note here, I think that there's, I hope that there's some other bills that don't fall off the wayside. There's three other measures that need to be moved and need to be moved in the last 6 weeks. You need to get a DWI bill, you need to get an ethics bill, and we need to get an autism bill. All of those are I'll take it a second. All of those, I think, are in a position where the positions are well-defined. Those bills are in the queue and could get moved quickly. I do think that while it's a busy time, I mean, my golly, it's only April, and I think with a resolute action by the House and Senate, we can get these tasks done by the constitutionally appropriate times of the first Friday in February, first Friday in March, May, excuse me. This would be April. Yeah, Terry. Yeah.
What good does the tax credit reform do now in the short term?
You could save a little on the front. It's not a budgetary short-term fix. That's not where it doesn't solve. But once again, if we're encumbering, if we're issuing tax credits, you know, at the $180 or $200 million a year on the historics, that just means we've got a hole next year that's going to be more difficult to fill. We just think this is the right time. We can, you know, save a little bit of money on the front, 10 to 15 to $20 million. But this is one and also I think having a serious thought, for example, on low-income housing. I mean, having serious thought about what we should do with the dollars we have available for low-income housing, whether we should continue to have, you know, $350,000 units that they cost to build or rehab that are rented out for $700 or $800 a month, or whether we should talk about single-family housing, or whether, you know, how we should work that. I think having a thoughtful discussion about how to use these tools is as beneficial as anything. So on the tax credit side, you might pick up a little bit of short-term relief quicker on the low-income housing because of the sequencing of when most of those deals are done. But since they're 10-year tax credits, they kind of build up a cost. But the tax credit is will have some short-term effects, but longer term is where it really makes a difference.
Any hope there's going to be a special session?
No, they've got plenty of time, and I don't at this point see these bills are queued up. The Senate taking a day off a couple of weeks ago to do that. The budget getting over in the Senate, them marking it up. Each one of the measures I talked about today have been introduced. We have those three other pieces of legislation which have moved through committees and been voted on, most of them on the floor. Really puts us in a situation where, you know, it's April 7th. I just think it's important for them to get to it this week. Get Pujols 5 or 6 more home runs this week, and we'll be ready to get this done by the end of the session.
Will there be any more withholdings for the fiscal year?
I think we are. The last section of restrictions will be the last necessity for this fiscal year. But if we continue to have a downturn in revenue for some particular reason, we might have to, but I do not have in the in my plans any more spending restrictions between now and the end of the fiscal year. Thank you all. Thanks very much.